Don't be seated just yet. It's almost time to greet one another in the Lord, so you just have to get right back up. We're so glad that you're here today. This is a very special Sunday. It is our annual Faith Promise Sunday, and so we're going to be hearing about missions today. We have the opportunity to pledge. Inside your bulletins, there is a pamphlet that will tell you a little bit about the budget of missions and what's going on today. Also, there's a card in there, and at the conclusion of this service today, we indeed will be collecting those cards and your pledge for Faith Promise for the coming year to set up our giving to missions. So, it's going to be an exciting day. We got several folks that are away from us, but we're glad that you are here. And it's that time of year. You know, we've got baby dedications going on. Brother Ben today is at, is it his nephew or his niece? It's nephew. Niece? Okay, I've got both answers. It's either a nephew or a niece, one or the other, that indeed is being dedicated today, and they've gone to be there, and so we miss them today, and others. It's graduation time. It's wedding time. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on in the month of May as it's coming up. But we're here today, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord as we celebrate missions. So greet one another in the Lord this morning and welcome each other into worship.
Because
Okay, we need all our kids this morning to come down. We got a very special children's sermon today, okay? All right, all our kids, come on down. Some of them think they're not kids anymore. They're getting there. We appreciate you coming down, though. We have a very special children's moment today because as we celebrate Faith Promise Missions, Carolyn has been on several of our mission trips, and because she has teaching status and all kinds of things, she's helped a lot of times with Bible schools and things like that. So we're going to hear from Sister Carolyn this morning as we think about missions and some of the things that she's done along the way.
How are you guys this morning? Good. Do any of you guys know what Faith Promise means? What does it mean, MJ? Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do today? Everybody in church is going to hear all about missions, and then you're going to have a chance to make a promise. And you know something, you guys? Missions, do you think it costs very much money to have people go to different countries and do things like that? It does. So the missionaries need money, don't they? So that's kind of what our service is about today. People are going to make a faith promise to give money for missions. So do you guys think that kids are important for missions? Okay. Well, do you guys think you're important for missions? Oh, but you guys are. You guys are very important for missions. Do you know what? I'm going to read something in the Bible here. I'm going to sit down here. You know what it says in the Bible? It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. What does it mean to rebuke somebody?
Send away.
Yeah. The disciples said, oh, just get those kids out of here. We don't want those kids there. And you guys know what Jesus said? This is what Jesus said. He said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. That means I want the kids to come to me. And so he said, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And you know what? What do you suppose those little kids did when Jesus said, come to me? Yeah. Do you think they climbed up on his lap? I bet they did. Yeah, I bet they were really happy to see Jesus. So you know what? Kids are really, really important to Jesus. Very, very important to Jesus. Well, you guys, I want you to look up, and there's going to be some pictures that are going to come up here, and I'm going to tell you guys some stories about these pictures. These pictures are from the country of Ecuador. Do you guys know where Ecuador is?
It's by the equator.
It is. That's exactly right. We went to where the equator is, and we were there. It's in South America. Here's some little kids. Do you guys notice what kind of clothes they have on? Winter clothes. You know what? Even though the equator runs right through that country, do you know that it's very, very cold when you get up in the mountains? We were very, very cold. So these little kids have nice warm clothes on. And the next picture is, this was, do you know what the little kids were coming home from school? And you know what we did? We went out in the street and we had them come off the street and come and they played games with us. So here's a picture of us playing games with some of the little kids after school. And then the next picture is, do you know what we did here? This little girl had never, ever had any barrettes in her hair or ever had ponytails in her hair. And you know what we did? All these little kids came in and we put barrettes and put little things like you have in your hair, put those in their hair. And you know what? They'd never, ever had that done before. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Yeah, we put things like that in their hair, too. And here's some little kids. We went to church, and here's some little kids that were all dressed up to go to church. And then the next picture, I think, is little kids at church again. Here's some little kids. Look at what their church looks like. Do you see what chairs they sit on in church? Do we have chairs like that at our church? No. Yeah, we maybe do. Maybe you have some out on your deck. But those are the kind of chairs they sat on in church. And then let's look at the next picture. Look at those little kids. They're all dressed up because they live way up in the mountains. And then the next picture, see, she's got a little wrap around her because she's very, very cold. And then this is some more kids. We were way, way, way up in the mountains, and it was so cold. And, you know, we had trouble breathing when we were up there, too. It was hard for us to breathe because the air is real thin. The higher you get, the air gets really thin. It was kind of hard to breathe. We had to just stop and... No, we didn't. We didn't have those. You know what that little girl's doing? She's eating ice cream. And you guys, ice cream in Ecuador is the best. It's really... Really? Oh, that's good. I wish I'd been with you because I love ice cream. And then I think there's maybe one more picture up there. Is that all? Okay, that's all we have. Well, you guys, you know what? You guys need to think that you're really important to Jesus. You guys are really, really important to Jesus. And the next time that maybe someone, like the disciple said, get those kids out of here. Jesus wants little kids at church really, really bad, and he loves you. You remember that, okay? All right, thank you.
Well, there's going to be some more exciting things take place this morning, and we hope that you'll be a participant in them. Just to think what God is doing, it's almost overwhelming. Some of the things that I learned this week as I was doing some studying on some of the things that have taken place, and I'm going to share those with you in just a minute. Right now, we're going to take up our weekly tithes and offerings, if our ushers would come. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings today on our offering. We thank you so much for all of the things, the benefits and all of the things that you have given to us, the material things, Lord, but more than that, the spiritual life that you gave your Son to give to us. We praise your name. We lift up your name. And this morning, as we take this offering, we pray that it would go to build the great kingdom of God around the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Get ready. Here we go again. You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Great I am, for the breath of
As we prepare our hearts for prayer today, we want to be mindful of the items that are within our bulletin. There are several things that have come to my attention that are not in print this morning, and so let me quickly share those with you, and then we're going to sing together and go to the Lord in prayer. We've been talking to you for some time, but now it has become very clear, the picture, and Brother Lyle, next week, I believe, Lyle, is that right? You're going to be moving to the first week in May. Well, that would be the first week in May next week, after this week, and so the first week away, Lyle will be moving to Colorado Springs to begin trying to. He has found lodging. He's been out there and found lodging. He's going to be getting a place to work, and will be starting school in August to continue his preparation for his call. So be praying for Brother Lyle as he makes this big change and transition in his life. And then got a call from Leo and Vonda Gardner this morning that they are homesick and could not be with us. And then Sue has a neighbor that she assured he was having some issues with his home, and she assured that we would pray for him this morning. Brother Ed Gill has a brother in Houston that is facing some health issues, and we want to remember him in our prayers this morning. Also, some of you, Peter Williams' dad, John and Sally, used to come to our church here back a few years ago. And John has been hospitalized. He was first in Neosho. He's now in Joplin. Matter of fact, as we speak this moment, he is in surgery. This morning I talked with Sally just a few moments ago. He has a mass. They believe his bladder has attached itself to his intestines. Anyway, they're trying to resolve all of that. There's poison backing up into his system as a result of that. He's lost 15 pounds in 2 days' time. And so just be praying for them this morning. He's now in Freeman Hospital at Joplin. We'll be updating you as we get information on that. Peter's family is going still through some issues there. Can't get into all of that, but pray for Peter and for Kelsey. They would appreciate that. And then Sister Charlene, who's been coming just the last few weeks with us, is going to be moving. And we'll not get real heavy into this, but Charlene, wave at everybody. She's back there on the back pew. If there are any of you men who might have a pickup or anyone who might be available, do you know what day, Charlene? You're moving during that course of time between Tuesday and Sunday. If anybody can offer a pickup or maybe some hand between Tuesday and Sunday, please speak with Charlene after the service, and you can coordinate that with her. But she is moving to Billings from here in Nixa, and so she's looking for some help there. And we've been glad to have her in our services these last few weeks. And so we want to try to help one another as best we can if we have available time and resources, and continue to pray for these other situations. Indeed, pray for the presentation this morning. There is within your bulletin a card, and just pray as to what God would have you to do when it comes time to receive the pledges this morning. And we look forward to a great day. God has blessed us. We've had wonderful giving in the last few years. We've reached our goal, actually surpassed our goal the last 2 years at least, in this service before we ever got out the first day. And so that has been exciting. So just prepare to do your best this morning. Cody? All right, that's Chase's sister. Back. Okay. So going in, there's Chase over there. Going into surgery for a broken arm, so remember her in your prayers as well. Thank you, Cody, for reminding me of that. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing. The altars are open to you if you have need of them this morning, and then we'll join our voices together in prayer. Part of prayer is helping each other, giving support. And this morning, one other thing that I had failed to mention that just touched my mind, I'd like for some of our ladies just to come here and kneel around Sister Evelyn. She has just received word this week. She had a sister that passed away with cancer here in the last few years. She just got word this week that her brother has cancer. They've given him 4 to 6 months to live. And we know that our God is a miracle-working God. He's able to change all that. We don't know what His plan is, but we know He's able. And certainly when we ask, He said, we have not because we ask not, so we ask for the sky, you know, and trust the Lord for the absolute miracle. And then we have the grace to go through whatever God indeed has planned out. But it's good for us to come together around our family sometimes and to touch and to help and bless in those situations. I know there's other things on your hearts and minds. We love and appreciate all of you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer together this morning. Father, indeed, we are grateful today that You are an all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful God. And that, Lord, we come to worship You today because You are worthy. You're worthy of our worship. Lord, we have flaws, and we fail. We make commitments, and we don't follow through on them. We make promises and break them. And we're just human, Father, and we're trying to overcome. And by Your help, and by Your Spirit in us, Lord, we improve how we live. But Lord, You are perfect. You are flawless. You are everything we need and more. And so, Father, we come to You today acknowledging that You are God Almighty, Jehovah God, that You are the one and only God. And Father, today we've come to lift our voices in praise, lift our hearts in thanksgiving. Lord, we're here on purpose. And Lord, we just want to enjoy Your presence. We ask for Your Holy Spirit to fill this place in our lives. And Father, as we worship today, as we think about missions, that You indeed would lay upon our heart what we need to do how we need to give, how we need to pray, what we might do in terms of participating in future work and witness opportunities. Lord, we're going to hear about some of those opportunities and the fulfillment that people have received and the reward that they've gained from going on those adventures. And so, Father, we pray that today you would just bless our speakers. There will be several of them. Bless Pastor Don as he coordinates this effort on our district and as he indeed leads our own church in these efforts. And so, Father, we thank you for Don and Ruth today and pray your blessing upon them. Pray your blessing upon all who are here today, that our hearts and our minds would be open to you. We submit this prayer list of requests to you, knowing that you know every situation. And Lord, we lay them into your hands and ask you to work as only you can, whatever the need is, in every area of the lives of our people. Bless our families. Help them, Father, that as they yield themselves to you, that you will work out your plan for them, and we will know that that'll be the best thing possible. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you with our lives and with our words today. We thank you for all that you are and for all that you do, and we give you praise in the name of your Son, Jesus, for indeed you are worthy. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, it is Faith Promise Day, and we are going to hear this morning from some of our own people who have been involved in the work of missions as we indeed want to obey God in our giving and our pledge for the coming year. Pastor Don, we'll turn it over to you.
Well, today we're going to share work and witness experiences with you. I said that's kind of a misnomer when we say work and witness, because we major in witnessing and working. It's important that we share with others what Jesus Christ has done in our hearts and lives. As you think about this morning, And we are going to receive those pledges as far as the offering is concerned. Pastor Gary is going to take care of that. But if you turn in your Bible back to Exodus and Leviticus, the Lord gave them specific offerings that they were to take. And one of those offerings that I came across in the 29th chapter of Exodus and in Leviticus, the 7th chapter, was a wave offering. How many of you ever participated in a wave offering? We're not familiar with that terminology, are we? But what they did for the special blessings that God had poured out upon their lives in these passages of Scripture, they took to the priest animals. Later on, the first fruits after they were in their land, and they waved that before the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you poured out upon our lives. This was a special offering. And so we're going to receive that special offering of a commitment in this upcoming year as God lays it on your heart. I want to share just a couple of things or a few things about work and witness before we get there. It began in 1974. 150,000 people have participated in work and witness projects around the world. Think about that, 150,000. This is the amazing statistic. 5,000 years of donated labor has gone into work and witness around the world. Now, 5,000 years. That's 2.5 times longer than Jesus has gone back to heaven. He's been working on heaven, preparing for his children, and his children have been working here on earth to prepare for his return. So you think about 5,000 years of donated labor in every region of the world, partnering with local churches in construction, in technical needs, in evangelism, in medical, and compassionate ministries. There are so many things out there to be done. Somebody can do something regardless. You can pray. You can boost. Some of the people in our own church here have offered scholarships to help people go on work and witness trips. And so God is good. God is doing some special things. We have medical missionaries. We have world mission partnerships. We have RVers on a mission, and John and Linda Lewis have participated in that. We have the Jesus film. We have mission course where there's longer terms of mission commitment. Instead of 2 weeks or a month, they commit up to 6 months in mission course, and youth in mission, and NYI, Nazarene Youth International mission internships. There's so many things to be done. Are you excited about what God is doing? Are you excited about what God wants you to do in His world until He comes? I tell you what, it's a blessing to be a part of it. I have had the special privilege down through the years. I think my first work and witness trip was in 1991. And you know what? I say to every one of them when I get back, I say, oh, this one was better. This one's the best one I've ever been on. And if you have that opportunity, I'm sure that you will make those kind of decisions too. This time, Carolyn's going to share with you some thoughts.
I wanted to talk to you guys about a mission trip we went on a couple years ago, and it was to a Navajo Indian reservation. And we went to Sun Valley Indian School. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, we're going to go to a school, and I'm going to maybe be able to teach there. And so I was very excited that they said yes, that they would allow another teacher that was with our group. Or actually, there were three of us that got to go in. And when we went in, we decided that it was going to be the longest week we'd ever lived, because these kids, as you know from the plight of the Native American, they're just very downbeaten, and it was sad. But a lot of these kids have what's called fetal alcohol syndrome. And I remember in Nixa, I taught one child with this, but she wasn't really, really severely damaged by it. But these kids were. And kids that have fetal alcohol syndrome, they have no conscience at all, and they never will. And it's just, unless God somehow intervenes. But it was really something to be in the classroom with these kids and to see what this poor, in this particular classroom, all of them weren't that way. But it was really, really an interesting thing that was very eye-opening to the plight of the Native American. And in a few minutes, I'm going to just show some pictures. And I'm going to explain the pictures beforehand so you can kind of see what they're all about. We went to a church on this reservation, and the church is built like they're old-time hogans. And what they said is, as you're driving through the reservation, you can see these hogans that are right next to very modern homes that they built. And they said that that's where the spirits live, in these hogans. And some of them are considered bad spirits. The church we went to had very good spirits in it, and you'll see kind of pictures of how that church was built, and it was called Nazarene Church. And also that was kind of neat is all of the hymnals were written in Navajo. And I'll never forget, this pastor got up and preached his sermon, and he preached in Navajo and English for us. And I was amazed that he could preach Navajo and then go in. He didn't have anyone interpreting for him. He just said one thing in Navajo and then another thing in English. And I don't know how in the world he kept his train of thought, but he did a really, really good job doing that. After that, we got to have lunch, and the ladies of the church fixed us probably the most delicious tacos I've ever eaten in my life. Everything was handmade. Even they were making the shells in the kitchen, and there's some pictures of that. And then there's pictures also of us eating in the cafeteria with the children. And then the whole entire school is just really set up in a very neat way. All the classrooms are in separate buildings, so maybe there's two classrooms in each building. And then there's farm animals, there's chickens, goats, lambs, llamas, and sheep. And a really neat thing that one of the teachers did is the kids sheared the sheep, then they carded the wool, and they spun the wool into yarn, and then they wove things out of it. And there's some really neat pictures of that, too. Some of the jobs that we did there were laying tile. That was the big job that they wanted us to do. We laid tile, and there was electrical, and there was painting that was also done. And in the evenings, we did Bible school, and there's some pictures there of that also. But I want you to especially notice the looks of these little kids' eyes in the pictures, because you can just really see that there's just, you know, that it's just a very distant look in their eyes. And also, I'm very excited that we got the sound to come through, that they had the neatest school song, and it's called Sacred Warrior Song. And just listen to the words of it. It's just a really neat message for these kids. But we were very privileged to be there and to work. And I have to say it was very, very difficult in this classroom that I went in, because chairs were flying all over the place and kids were going every which way. But it really opened my eyes. And I just had such a heart for these teachers that are trying to make a way for these kids. So we're going to I want to play the pictures now so you can see those.
the sacred warrior. Your name is the Word of God, the sacred warrior. Your vest is dipped in blood, and your eyes are blazing fire.
Pastor Don, I don't know how many has gone on, and I've been on several with him. I guess I would ask the first thing, what do you think the reason for going on work of witness trips is? Why do we go? Why does anyone go? I guess there maybe could be a lot of reasons. Pastor Don talked about it's a work and witness. We go to work. The big thing is witness. I've heard a few people that we've gone with talked about, well, why not just send her money? Because, you know, if we send her money, it could be more effective, so we'd not spend money on airfare to get there. We'd not spend money on our food and rent. We could actually send the money and let them do their own thing. And maybe there's a little bit of logic with that, except for one thing. The personal relationship that you have with people that you meet across the world is invaluable, not only for you, but for them also. When we interchange with people from other cultures, the value we take back from that, and I hope that they gain from us being there. You can't put a value on that. I don't care what it costs us to get there, our own personal amount of airfare, whatever. It's an invaluable experience to go to other cultures, see how they live, to see how they work, to see how their faith is. We go into some of these churches. I'm going to talk about Haiti. Most of these pictures that Justin is showing right now are from Haiti. I'm going to talk a little bit about Haiti and Ecuador. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and it was the poorest even before the earthquake hit. And when the earthquake hit, that brought a whole new level of need for that country. When we went there, we toured some of the devastated areas from the earthquake. But let me say this. When you go on a work and witness trip with Pastor Don, you don't really go for the adventure. But let me tell you, when you go with Pastor Don, there's adventure almost every time. You think that, well, you know, a matter of just getting to your site, you know, big deal. You know, you go and you get on a truck or a van or whatever, you go to your job site and then work. Well, in Haiti, that was a little bit different. We flew into Port-au-Prince and spent the night, and we're going to get up the next morning and go to our work site. Well, our work and witness coordinators said, well, we're going to get on a truck. If you can imagine, and I've got Justin's promised to watch the time for me so I don't get go over too long here. We get on this cattle truck, and that's using the term pretty loosely. It was a truck that kind of had a wire cage around it so you wouldn't fall out and get slung out. A very few miles out of Port-au-Prince that morning, we hit dirt roads. So that's not too bad. But it was so dry, the dust was boiling up like choking you to death. And everyone who put the truck together forgot to hook the exhaust system from the muffler to the tailpipe. The exhaust was coming up right behind the cab, and every bit of the exhaust was coming up right where we were riding in the back of the truck. It was not fun, to say the least. We were choking to death on dust, choking to death on the exhaust fumes. And then we got out of town, and we thought the road was maybe not the best before we got up in the mountains. Then it wasn't a road. It was a goat trail. If you can imagine the worst Ozarks back road that you've ever been on, and expand that by about 20 times, then you get an idea of maybe a little bit of what the roads were like. We got up in the mountains, and the dust was choking us to death. We got up the mountains, and it had actually come a flood up there. I got up to this particular site, and it looked pretty rough ahead of us. And we thought, well, we'll try to get through there. And we hit it pretty fast as we could go. And imagine a mountain, you know, about like this, in just a huge swamp, a mud hole. We hit it with a truck, and the truck swayed, looked like it was going to tip over, came back down, and we were stuck. And you would think a work and witness trip, we would have had enough smarts to have equipment with us. We had not one shovel, nothing to dig us out with. And there were these Haitians that were, I'm sure, looking at these ugly Americans and thinking, you know, how dumb can you get? But thankfully, a couple of them had machetes, and they got down in the mud beside us and used these machetes to kind of dig us out of the mud. Took us probably, oh, goodness, 2 hours digging, and we finally thought, well, we'll try it. We got about 15 or 20 of the guys behind the trucks, shoved the truck out. We finally made it up past this area, and we had that was the one truck. We had our supply truck behind us. It got stuck in the very same position, so we spent another hour to 2 hours digging that truck out, got them both out. We had a flat on the first truck. Changed the flat, got up over the, hopefully, you know, got it past that area, hit another spot, a little bit more level, got stuck again. And make it a long story short, it took us 11 and a half hours to go over this mountain to get to our work site. Absolutely beat to death that truck. If you can imagine going like this all for 12 hours, that because you hit ruts that would be 2 foot deep and just jar down and sling you. Some people were slung clear across the truck. I mean, literally slung from the side of the cage to another. Finally got there just at dark. Some of the ladies were talking about the accommodations. Well, you know, where do we, you know, what motel are we staying in, or what resort are we staying at? Happened to be, we had tents with us, and our resort was, have you ever seen these houses that had flat roofs? We were staying up on a flat roof of a house. We pitched our tents up on this roof. Well, how do you get up there? Well, there were no staircases. They had this, for lack of a better word, I called it a ladder. We had a couple of sticks with some sticks across it that you could get up it. We pitched our tents up there. We spent our nights up there hoping that you didn't stumble off in the nighttime. But that was our accommodations. That we spent 7 days up on this, our nights, I guess, up on this roof and with our pitched tents. And our accommodations otherwise were really unique, I guess. Our shower was... There was this little block, you can call it a building, but there were some blocks stacked up out here with a little curtain across it. And the curtain didn't close all the way, but there was a curtain, especially when the wind is blowing. But that was your shower. You dip buckets of water out of the well, and I'll get to that in just a minute, but you dip buckets of water out of the well, and you got in behind this little curtain. You dump the bucket over your head, and then you soaked real quick. And you got another bucket and dumped it over your head and kind of rinsed off. That was your showers. Now, the water that you got to shower with was, they had a dug well that you went over and dipped the water out of. The only thing wrong with that was the outhouse that your accommodations for our facilities, believe it or not, sat right beside the well. Imagine this. Now, the well is right here. The outhouse is right here. The shower... right here, all three just, and you wonder why people are sick. You know, get sick in Haiti there because there was typhoid. There was what's the other waterborne diseases that, but any typhoid, everything. But it's no wonder people were drawing the water. The whole community, that was their drinking water. And I won't swear in church, but the outhouse was literally within 2 feet or 3 feet of the well. The sanitary facilities were not the best in the world, to say the least. One little funny tidbit story with it, and I'm going to be over my time real quick. One of our guys on the Work and Witness team went down one evening to take a shower like the rest of us were always doing. And he was putting his stuff up on, had his watch with him, his glasses. And what he didn't realize, these block walls that... I say it wasn't a room, but there's some block walls there. He leaned against, he was stripped off to take his shower. He leaned against the block walls to, I don't know why, but he just leaned against it. He didn't realize there was no mortar between those blocks. The block walls fell, the curtain fell, and he was, of course, just huckered. Dozens of people around everywhere, you know, because it was a crowded place. And the poor
coming out party.
Oh, yeah, it was a coming out party. But the poor guy, you know, he had nowhere to go. You know, he just hunkered down there. But he got his stuff together. They built the wall back. But the exciting part, that was part of the adventure. I'll get to Haiti in just a minute if I have time. We got the 5 days or 6 days there working on the church. We did. We got the church built. We got the roof on. We built the pews. People locally there worked with us and got it all built. The exciting part of that was for church dedication, how many people do we have here in church? We have room for like 350. I don't know what the accommodation there, they expect for that church, like 150 at the tops probably. There were people sitting on people, completely jam-packed. People were outside those back doors back there looking in. They were looking in the windows trying to get in the church. If we could have that kind of an attitude of people, of churches in America, people were trying to climb in windows to get in that church service. They were excited to have a place of worship. And I thought, wow, what a witness to God that these people, I don't know how long they waited to get this church built, but we got it up. We left about 9:30 that night, I think, Don, that dedication service. They were still going strong. We thought, well, these poor Americans, we were so tired, we finally had to go back to our hotel on the top of the house. But these people went half the night. They were so excited to have the church built that they could come and worship in. That makes it all worthwhile, that you can see that you have an effect on people's lives and will for the next, who knows, 100 years because of what was able to be accomplished there. Ecuador. I'll touch it real quick. I talked about our flight going into Ecuador this morning in Sunday school class a little bit. When you fly over the Andes, it gets rough. The air gets rough. We were flying down into Quito, and you talk about some people praying, trying to land someplace. That plane was bouncing up, not only bouncing up and down, it was jerked sideways. That was just getting there. And people were really praying about, you know, if we're going to be able to land and get to our spot. We landed safely, made it all just fine. We got to our work site a couple of days later. If you ever worked any harder than we had to work at that site, I feel sorry for you. It was primitive work, to say the least. The church site was dug out in the side of a mountain, just scooped out, and they did have a backhoe that dug some of our piers down about halfway for us. But if you ever dug in volcanic soil, it's a treat. We could take these crowbars, pick shovels, and you'd go down as hard as you could go, and you'd go about that far down in the soil. We dug out pier holes. We dug out places to the footings, the foundations. And then we got to pour concrete. For 5 days in a row, however many days it was, we poured concrete, mixed by hand, poured where our mixer was. We had a slope about like this to get our wheelbarrows up. It took three of us, two pushing and one pulling with a rope, to pull these wheelbarrows up time after time after dozens and dozens and dozens of times per day. You were just so exhausted that you almost couldn't even stand up by the time you got up there. And then you go down and do it all over again and do it all over again and do it all over again and do it all over again. People were just falling out from sheer exhaustion. The altitude was, I'm not sure, 10 to 12,000 feet. You could hardly breathe. But again, that was part of the adventure. But touching people's lives. There were people there working right beside us, people that wanted that church built for that area that were, we thought we were dying ourselves. But they were excited about the effort that was being done for so they could come and have a place to worship. The pastor of that area's church said people come to him, you know, people, the natives there, the Ecuadorians, they said, what are these Americans doing here anyway? He said, why are they here? And they said, well, they come to help us build a church. And they said, well, how much money did you have to pay to get them here? The concept, they couldn't understand why people from another culture would come and interact in their lives to do something that it doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to them. Maybe it doesn't make sense to a lot of us. But because we interact with other cultures, because we become close to a lot of the people that we interact with, we make an impact that we'll never know till eternity hits. The personal relationships you build with people that you come in contact with there, the team members, that the personal relationships that you build over the years, there's not enough money to make that we could send to make that kind of a difference, that kind of an impact in a lifetime. We have adventures. Our first trip to Ecuador was kind of like our second, except that we went up on mountain roads that the ghosts couldn't get up. We couldn't even turn around. We drove through fires. We built a church on a cliff, or not just a cliff, but a mountainside that was, if you'd have fallen off, you'd probably fallen 4,000 feet and never touched the ground before you hit. It was exciting. These mission trips work of witness trips are exciting beyond belief. You get into stuff that you never imagined you'd ever do. The work is incredibly hard, but the most rewarding trips you'll ever go on in your entire life. So if you get a chance, I would say take a risk. Say, well, I can't do much. I can't do whatever. God will use you. I guarantee it. God uses people that say, well, I can't do the heavy construction. I can't do this. I can't do that. There are Bible schools to teach. There's all kinds of work to do on site. But it's incredibly rewarding, the interaction with people that we have. And again, will last a lifetime. I guess our pictures are done. I didn't catch our unit.
I threatened him with physical harm if he went too long, but he didn't pay any attention to me. Some humorous things happen on our trips, and Ruth's going to share one of those right now.
When we went to Newark, New Jersey several years ago to work with the Haitian church there, it was kind of funny. I don't know if you know about Haitian people, but they have no comprehension of time. If they told you they was going to be there at 8 or 10, you could figure they'd be in there anywhere between 8 and 11. So on Saturday, they were going to take us on a picnic, and we've laughed about it. We call it a 3-3-0 picnic. That means you travel 3 hours across parts of 3 states. You get to the park and the river where you're going, and there's no food. And we kept waiting for them to unload the food, and finally we realized there was no food. So Don and a couple other guys went into a McDonald's and bought enough food for 40 people to have a picnic. And then on Sunday evening, we was to go to a zone rally that was about 30 miles away, and we were traveling in 2 vans. Well, we got right outside of town, and one of the vans broke down. So guess what they done? They took all the people off of the one van, put them on with us. We had 35 people on a 15-passenger van. I had 2 people sitting on my lap. I had people leaning over my back right in my face. Somebody was pulling on my clothes, and, of course, I always get tickled. I thought, you know, I hope I have my own clothes on when I get to church. Then I got to thinking, well, I just hope and pray I have some clothes on. But anyway, when we finally got there, I tried to get up, and I couldn't even feel either one of my legs because I hadn't been able to move them for about 30 miles. But anyway, that was kind of funny. And then I wanted to tell about an instance that happened when we went to France. France is one of the darkest countries that we've ever been in. 98% of the people there are Catholics, but they never go to church at all, hardly. They go 2 or 3 times in their whole lifetime, and finally the last time they go is for their funeral. But God's hand of protection was over us because you weren't even allowed at that time on the street to say anything about the Bible or about religion or invite anybody to church or anything. If they heard you, you could be arrested, and now that's different. But one of the things I was doing was the laundry, and I went 2 doors down from the church, had my laundry in the dryer, sitting there reading a magazine, and these 4 men come rushing in. They started pulling plastic baggies out of their pockets. They were dumping the white powder on top of the front-loading automatic washers. Then they took knives, and they were cutting it, and I was kind of smart enough to figure out what was going on. They were cutting up dope, and some of them started snorting it, and some of them started rolling it and going around by the dryers and smoking it, and police cars were going up and down the street, and I was trying not to look, and I thought, oh boy, if I had a camera, I'd take a picture of this. And when I got back and talked to the missionary, I said, what would have happened if I would have took a picture? And he said, they would have took you out. You wouldn't have been standing here right now talking. And he said, the police know they do it, and they just let them go ahead and do it. So anyway, that was a real eye-opener when we went to that on that trip. God really kept his hand of protection over all of us in many different ways. And I could tell you 2 or 3 other things, but I won't go into that. And then when we went to the Indian school, I had a really neat job. I got to stay in out of the sun and cut Campbell soup labels and the education box top labels. They'd come in big packages, and we had to sort them and clip them and put them in the pile they needed to be in, and then pack them up, get them ready to go. And there was four of us that worked on them the whole time we were there. And we cut over 58,000 labels and got them all ready to go. And they said that our group had cut and taken care of more labels than anybody had ever done, any group had ever done. And they used those labels for two different things. The educational labels go for the students to take trips and things like that when they get the money back in on that. And then the Campbell Soup labels go to purchase a van to use at the school. And they'd bought three or four vans up to that point, and they were, the 58,000 that we cut was going to go a long way because they had a lot already. They were about ready to get another van. So we felt like, even though it was kind of a menial job, that really it was something that was important. So, okay, that's all I've got to say. That's my one thing.
I'd threaten her with physical harm, but it wouldn't do any good because she lives in the same house I do. Bob's going to share just a few things from a working witness trip. We built some houses in Joplin, Missouri, and I know the time is important to you, and we don't want to get too crazy, but this is important also.
Pastor Don asked me to get up, and I told him I'm not good in front of people, and he said, suck it up and get over it. So here I am. Just to quickly share a little bit, when we went to Joplin, actually the tornado, I guess everybody's probably well aware of, hit in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, in May. Rhonda and I had went there just to volunteer. I don't know, Rhonda, what was it, a month or two after it had happened, and the devastation. Of course, I imagine most of you have seen pictures and all, but to actually be there to try to help the people and the things we were doing, it was pretty unorganized, really, at that time. There were so many people trying to help, but you'd see people sitting on what was left of a foundation of a house, cars laying on their side, mattresses up in trees, what were left of the trees. So there was a lot of devastation, and when we went back, to try to build, what we did was three houses we built in 4 weeks. Is that
four
correct?
Weeks.
And the money was raised, if I'm not mistaken, from the Nazarenes.
The General Church sent us $220,000.
Right. To where we were able to build three houses, and we accomplished that. These are some of the pictures just kind of showing the first day when we got there. A lot of the men from the church, the women were there as well. I worked alongside Pastor Gary, John Lewis, Pastor Don and all, and it was a good time. It was exciting for us. But the first day when we started out, they had the foundations poured, but other than that, we started from scratch. Was there about 106 people you said you thought working there and all? The first morning, it looked like we were going to get hit with a tornado again. The clouds got dark and started moving in from the west. We were a little bit concerned about that, and it finally let loose on us.
And we waded mud so deep, and yeah, the red clay stuck to our feet until our shoes probably weighed 10 pounds apiece.
We managed to go to lunch and take a hose and have to hose off our shoes and our socks and everything before they let us in the local church there where they fed us lunch. But when we came back, I mean, the sun came out, it dried up, but all of our extension cords we had to pull out of the mud. The mud had kind of started to set up at that point. All of our tools had mud on them. I mean, it was a mess. We had to sweep off the foundations to start chalking lines and things for the layout. So, you know, we had a good start to the whole thing. After that, though, everything went pretty well. And to, as you can kind of see on the pictures, by the third, I think it was the third day, I was there 3 days to start with. I wasn't able to be there throughout the whole thing. But we had the houses, all the walls up, the sheeting on the outside, the roofs on, the sheeting on the roof and all within about the first 3 days, if I'm not mistaken. So, and that was three different houses that we had worked on. So quite an accomplishment with that many people when they throw out the plans and there's that many people involved trying to get together as to who's got the best idea how to get it done. But it all worked out really well. It was exciting. It was a pleasure. There's Pastor Don trying to get his suspenders on. He needed some help, but you know, he doesn't like a lot of help. He's kind of like some of us other guys, but anyway, it was quite a job that we accomplished that. And there's a little bit other that Justin's going to play here. I think I wasn't able to be there at the end of it all. Would have liked to have been when they presented the houses to these families. And again, if I'm not mistaken, my understanding, and Don, you can tell me, was that the families had to qualify. They had to be in need of a house, not just, it wasn't like by a drawing, and if you were the winner, you got the house. It was the people that they felt that were the neediest to receive these houses. And I can only imagine that, you know, if you've lost your house and everything you might have owned or had at that time, to not have anything and then be presented a house free of charge through a church foundation like ours. So
this is some of the families as they were looking through their houses. If he can go ahead and speed that up to show you exactly what's taking place. We presented, there was three families that had no insurance, no way to buy a house, and those families are living in three new homes in Joplin, Missouri, because your church was concerned and took time out. Bob took time out from his job. Everybody worked and did so much to contribute to the fact that people have homes that had nothing after that tornado went through.
And even all the mission trips everyone's been on throughout the world in different areas, it was good that we were able to help people close to home here that were in need. So it was good that that was a local and kind of a close working witness trip for us to make it easier for some of us to go help that aren't able to go at other times. So it was exciting for me, and I was really glad to be a part of that. That's kind of what I do for a living, basically, is a little bit of building, remodeling, and all. So that was right up my alley. Felt like I was able to contribute and help a lot in that way, and I was really glad to be a part of that. And I think it was a real blessing, hopefully, for all the people there, especially the families and all that were able to receive those homes.
Thank you, Bob, and thanks all of you for your patience. I know we've it's kind of hard to cut it off, I guess. Preachers get long-winded at times, and so sympathize with these laymen today who got a little long-winded. And we're going to step right on here. I had some pictures I wanted to show of Inez, Kentucky, where we're going. I'm just going to give you a brief outline of what we intend to do. We'll be working in Inez, Kentucky, working in the Appalachians. People there have a way to get out of the poverty and the difficulties they're in, but still are steeped in so many of the things that have taken place and have gone before, and it's really difficult. To tell you how difficult it is, they don't have any trash pickup there in that county. There's no trash pickup. Just go ahead and turn that off, Justin. There is no trash pickup. We probably will be picking up trash and delivering it to dumpsters that are set around in the county. So that's how poor an area we're going to be working in. So you pray for us. As we go to Inez, Kentucky. Oh, by the way, I don't know how many of you heard or didn't hear, but everyone who goes on these work and witness trips pays their own way. And the district raises money. All of the different churches go together and put their money into the work and witness fund so that we have funds to work with after we get there. Thank you very much, Pastor Gary.
All right, so here's what we want to do. I'm going to ask the children, did they leave? Okay, I need all the children up here. You're going to help me right quick. We're going to pray. We're going to collect your pledge cards, and then we'll be giving you a count. I'm going to share with you a few announcements while they're collecting those cards, and we'll prepare ourselves. It is indeed our day for our dog's dinner, our Dinner on the Ground Society. And so we will have a time of fellowship to honor visitors. And so if you're a first-time visitor, we want you to be with us. If you've been with us just in the last month for the first time, we want you to go right to the head of the line. And we're going to celebrate some birthdays and anniversaries as well. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. But let's pray. This has been, it is an impossible task to tell you all the wonderful things that happen in a short amount of time. But I hope you've gotten a taste for the excitement and the enthusiasm and the reward that these people have received for going on these trips. So the money that we pledge today goes for the work of missions, not only work and witness trips, but all of our mission giving projects in many different ways throughout the course of the year. It's defined there on the pamphlet that you indeed have. So let's pray and just ask God to guide us and direct us as to what we should do. And I'm going to ask Mary Willard. Mary, come, for the sake of the recording and everything else, come. And Mary is our missionary president. We appreciate her work and efforts. I want you to come and pray that God will lay on our hearts what we're to do. And then we're going to have the kids collect, and we'll post the totals for you on the board as we get them, and we'll cover some announcements as we wait.
Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the people who have been willing to go on all of these missions trips, and the families of people who are blessed with the work that we've been done, Father God. We pray that you'll be with us this year as we learn from country that we'll see the able to change the lives of people there that really just need a touch from you, Father God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll touch every heart here and give them, lay on their hearts how much they should donate to you, Lord. And we call it faith promise because, Lord, we step out in faith and know that you, Lord, will bless us by doing this, Father God. So be with us. Be with this offering. I pray, God, that you will bless every single penny of it to go to glorify you, Father God. We love you so much, and we thank you for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. We're going to ask you, if you haven't already done so, to fill out your card. If God lays it on your heart during the course of this to do something different, why, just take care of that. We can get you an additional card if you need it later. But at any rate, if you have your cards, what we want you to do as you get them ready is you're going to hold them up. These guys are going to pick them up from you. They're going to take them back to where they can be totaled. And while they're doing that, let me catch you up on a few announcements and ways that we can serve the kingdom in this coming week. And so let's begin. Janet, would you like to maybe come and play something for us? And we'll get you a total posted here, and then we're going to have dinner together. And so we're looking forward to a great day of fellowship. I would just remind you, first of all, I want to say thanks to Justin. He has done a bunch of editing and fixing for all of these pictures and things that you have seen today. And so we want to thank Justin for the work that he'd done to help out with our Faith Promise presentation today. Then I want to just remind you that there are a couple of special events coming up this week. One is on Thursday, which is our senior adult outing. We need to meet here at the church at 9:45. We plan to leave at 10 o'clock. We will travel to Forsyth, the back way, and to see whatever there is to see as far as God's creation. And then we're going to the name of the place is Fat Daddy's. So that's where we're eating. It's a barbecue place, and we eat in Forsyth, and then we're going to trek back through 76 Highway to Ava. Our goal is to hopefully have cheap ice cream in the Ava Drug before we come home, and we'll come back around 14 and home. We'll be back about 3:30 in the afternoon, and we'll have a great day together, fellowship. That's our senior adult outing. That's 50 plus up. Anybody's welcome to come. Be prepared, depending on how hungry you are and how much you like barbecue. A noon meal at Fat Daddy's can be as much as $15-16, depending on how much ribs you want to eat, you know, and that kind of thing. And then there is indeed the Secret Sister Reveal at 7 o'clock on Friday at the Willard's home. And so that's a couple of things that are special events. We have an opportunity to do outreach with the Sucker Day Parade on May 15th and the Sucker Day on May 16th. I'll give you more details about that later, but we indeed will have a sign-up sheet that you can sign up to volunteer. What we'd like to do is drive one of our vehicles in the Sucker Day Parade and hand out flyers about Vacation Bible School and things. And then they called our youth group, and our youth group and the young adult Sunday school class are then going to volunteer at Sucker Day on the 16th. And anybody from the church, anybody that wants to help out can. But if you want to volunteer, there will be a sheet for that. We have the opportunity to help. They have a children's area, and they're just looking for some people to kind of help man that area during the course of the day. You could work for just an hour. You could go for an hour and leave, or whatever you'd be willing to do. We'll have sign-up sheets for that. We're going to have some opportunities to pass out. They told us that there are bags that they make for all of the kids that come in, and we're allowed to put a flyer in that bag if we'd like to do that. So a couple opportunities there where we can hand out information about our Vacation Bible School, about Faith, Family, and Fun Day coming up in August. So just a lot of things that are some opportunities for us to serve. So we want to do our best to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our world, whether it's through the work of missions or the things that we're doing right here locally, just in our own community, to reach out and share with Jesus Christ. Okay, so we are currently at $20,268. Do we have all the cards? Have we got all of them? They're not all totaled yet. Okay, so we're still waiting for a total. So there's still more to come. I'm thinking we're going to make it. What do you think? I think we're going to get close. And some of our people aren't even here today, and so those pledges will continue to come in. But do you realize that there were years ago that we had a goal? I remember this in particular. We had a goal of about $11,000, and we didn't make it. We made it by the end of the year, but we didn't make it in the pledge campaign. We didn't get enough pledges to cover it, but we made it by the end of the year. You cannot believe how incredibly exciting, well, maybe you can, to the missionary president and to myself, to when we're looking at this kind of thing, because we added $1,200 into that package this year so that we can provide $100 a month to a group called One Door, which is Greene County and Christian County, that actually just helps people in need in our own local area. And so those funds are available for them, and they will call us when they have need of them, whether it's rental assistance or utility assistance. And so that's a new thing in the line item budget. That was a $1,200 addition this year. So we are now at $21,368. Is that all that we have? That's what we have currently? Okay, so we'll go back through. Sometimes we miscount things and adjust a little, and then there are other pledges that will be coming in. So this, we changed again while I was talking. 22,108, so we're awfully, awfully close, and I feel confident that we, without any problem, will indeed go over our goal. Thank you for your patience today. Thank you for the time you spent here. We hope you'll stay and eat with us. Oh, I've got one other thing to do. Indeed, not only are the folks who've been new visitors with us in the last month supposed to go to the head of the line, but we are honoring these birthdays in the month of April. Mindy Caldwell, Tanya Douglas, Iris Guerin, Leanne Burgess, Heather Swearingen, Dee Jennings, Paula Beechler, Cody Swearingen, and then these wedding anniversaries, Ted and Sue Montgomery, and Maxine Thompson, one of our new ladies, and her husband have an anniversary this month. So these people all get to go to the head of the line this morning, and we just look forward to a great time of fellowship. Let's stand together and ask God's blessing on our fellowship and dismissal from this service today. Y'all look good. We're going to have a good time together. All right. We had a great time at men's breakfast yesterday, by the way. And so if you haven't gotten involved in prayer partners there, participation, just talk to Brother Dan Downing. He's kind of heading that up for us. And you can get involved in men's ministry breakfast. Sister Donna, would you pray a closing prayer for us today and just ask